We're going to have a great day in the Word. Why don't you turn your Bibles, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and let's pray. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we'll begin by prayer. Thank you, Father. Lord, just open our ears right now, our eyes, to see you, to hear you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here as our minister, as our teacher. You are the master teacher of this book that we hold in our hands. You are the master teacher who unfolds the beauty of our salvation in Christ Jesus. Open our ears to hear your voice right now. Each of us have needs, deep needs, Lord, and you're here to speak to us specifically about those things. Let us hear you. Open our eyes. I thank you that we are your sheep, and your sheep hear your voice. And no other voice do we follow but you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. We're talking about the renewing of the mind. And this subject, literally, we could go on. We could preach until springtime on this one. But as I've said before, I don't want to bore you. I mean, I don't want to lose you. But there are some things, how many of you know, that once you get going on a subject, it's like opening a can of worms, so to say. But you just can't exhaust the subject from the Word. I mean, if we're talking about kingdom finances, if we're talking about sanctification, if we're talking about the power of the name of Jesus, once you get rolling on that subject, you just can't quit almost, right? That's the endlessness of the kingdom that we're a part of. And, you know, this morning I was thinking about the renewing of the mind and how it's so much like that story in Matthew chapter 8 where Jesus had the leper that came to him and he said, "Master, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus looked at him and he said so lovingly, he said, "I will," and he said three precious words, "Be thou clean. Be thou clean." And when it comes to the renewing of the mind, I want to tell you something. The Lord is willing. We just have to step into his promise and be thou clean. Be made whole. Amen. Our minds entered this game unrenewed. Our minds were like computer programs with bad software in them. When you and I got born again, when we got saved, our spirit came alive. We talked about this last week. It was like a flash of light. And our spirit man inside here just came alive and was like a newborn baby and just full of, you know, the encounter of the love of God and a sense of God's power overwhelming us when you got born again. You know, I got born again at age 8. I didn't see lights flashing and all kinds of things, but I knew something different had changed for sure. Absolutely. My life was forever. It's like I came awake, you know, as a little boy. But listen, there comes a day when all of a sudden it's like the honeymoon's over. And ministers have observed, and I shared this last week a little bit, ministers have observed that sometimes people who have had horrendous, I mean traumatic life experiences before they got saved, you know, they were abused, they were whatever, and they get saved as teenagers or you know, in their 20s or 30s, and young adults, and they come into the kingdom, they'll go through a season in their life where it's like God just surrounds them in a bubble, like encounter, in which they're just upheld. And there comes a point in time in which that bubble seems to pop. And it's very important that during that bubble season, we'll call it, that they're getting into the book and they're renewing their mind and they're actually finding out who they are in Christ Jesus. Because when the bubble pops, it can be overwhelming to them. And I don't know what that exact time frame is. I haven't studied this, but I heard someone else refer to it. And when that bubble pops, when that season is over, there can be almost a backsliding experience with this person if they haven't grounded themselves in the Word of God. It's very important. Amen? So just as a tidbit, if you're leading someone to Christ and they've come from a really bad background, get them in the Word right away. Amen? So that when that season of grace lifts, because God is good, he gives us that season of grace, but then he expects us to stand on our two feet. Amen? Expect us to stand as mature, growing up children in him. And the only way we can stand is by being grounded in the Word of God. Well, listen, it's God's will when it comes to the renewing of the mind that you and I be so heavenly minded, we're earthly incredible. Yeah. You heard the phrase, he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. Okay, God doesn't want you to be like that. But he does want us to be so heavenly minded that we're earthly incredible. How many would you like to be incredible in this life? Amen? Listen, it comes through the renewing of your mind. You know, the Bible says in other places, how can two walk together except they both agree? Right? You've heard that verse? It's from the Old Testament.
How can two walk together except they be agreed? Listen, when you got born again, your spirit is in agreement with God, and you're walking along in life, and your spirit's ready to go follow Jesus, but you live in a fleshly temple, a body, and you have a unrenewed mind, and that's two against one. So we got to have at least one of those get lined up with the spirit man that's been born again in you. And that thing that has to happen is the mind. If the mind gets in sync with the spirit man that's been born again and is in tune with God, the body will follow. You with me?
Yes.
If your mind gets in sync with your spirit, the body will follow. Now, athletes know this. They don't describe it the way I just described to you because they have no clue. I'm talking about people in the world that don't know Jesus. They'll talk about, you know, mind over matter. They'll talk about get your mind where it needs to be as an athlete. In other words, be able to shut out pain, be able to shut out the muscle spasms you're feeling if you're a marathon runner or triathlon runner or a swimmer. You know, there comes a point at which your muscles are screaming at you. You're screaming at you. And somehow, you know, they psych themselves up. They train and discipline themselves to have a mind that rules over the body. And that's exactly what I'm talking about in a sense. But it's not just a mind over matter thing. It's a mind that's renewed in the Word of God and has now been synchronized with your spirit man who is born again and looks like Jesus and behaves like Jesus. When that happens, your mind and your spirit in sync, your body will follow. Your body will follow. We call that sanctification. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's look at it together. We'll begin in verse 3. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Don't want to say Thessalonians too fast. You'll slip. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. Who do not know God. Now, look over in chapter 5, verse 23. Just flip over one chapter. Chapter 5, verse 23. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. From God's point of view, God prioritizes things this way. Spirit, soul, body. When you got born again, your spirit was taken care of. Came alive. Looks just like Jesus. Ready to roll. Your soul is the part of you that's unrenewed. It's the part of you you brought with you to the party that looks like Adam. It's your mind, your thoughts, your will, your emotions. All those make up the soul part of you. And of course, your body, well, your body was just drug along. When you came into the kingdom, whatever state you were in, you know, if you spent 30, 40 years in alcoholism, when you came to the party, you probably had a body that was a little bit worn out. But Jesus can renew it. Amen? That's what redemption is all about. And so we've heard testimonies. You know people. I know people and heard stories of, you know, so-and-so did this and this and this, and it tore up their body. But when they got saved, when they received Jesus, Jesus gave them a new lung or Jesus gave them a new liver. I mean, it happens. Amen? It happens. And so we see that there's a priority, spirit, soul, and body. Now, in the world, it's just the opposite. Lost people are all concerned about one thing. What's that? The body. And then if they're real intellectual or very sophisticated, they also spend a lot of focus, a lot of emphasis on the mind or the soul. They have no clue about the spirit. No clue. Why? Because their spirit's dead. It's out of touch with God. They're in touch with their body. You know people like that. You've seen people like that. Nothing wrong with being fit. Nothing wrong with being trim. But the worship of the body gets a little bit excessive, right? Or the worship of the intellect. You know, we've got colleges and universities across the country that are filled with people who worship the intellect. Right? It's all about intelligence. You know, learn this, learn that. Listen, nothing wrong with education. Nothing wrong with taking care of your body. But don't neglect, not to the neglect of your spirit. Your spirit. And I've said it numerous times to Terry. I said, you know what? Before this is all said and done, I mean, yes, I want education. Yes, I want to, you know, learn things along life's way. But more than anything, I want to have like a doctorate degree in the spirit realm.
Amen.
I've known ministers, men of God who I admire, men of God who I look up to. And what is it about them that is so fantastic is
they're so in tune with the Spirit. Not just the Holy Spirit, but the new renewed Spirit in Christ, who we are in Christ, and also being in touch with being able to hear from the Holy Spirit. Listen, you and I need to spend our days becoming experts at the Spirit. What has God done in your spirit now that you've been born again? What does that look like? What are you supposed to behave like? And let that Spirit working outward kind of experience be your reality. And let it affect your mind. And let it impact your body. Amen? Listen, doctors have proven, and it's been shown in statistics, that the mind plays a huge part in physiological ailments. I mean, people that are depressed oftentimes have physical breakdown in their body. People that are very pessimistic, what will happen? Or people that are angry, what will happen? Their heart rate will race, their blood pressure will go up, right? You understand what I'm saying? Your mind affects your body. As Christians, our spirit should dominate our mind. And that should then trickle down to the least important part of us, the body. Sometimes when I'm getting ready for church, I'll just be like, you know, yeah, shampoo hair, you know, brush teeth, yes, get dressed. But all this is just the body. It's what we have to do to get here, right? But you know what? The whole time I'm doing it on Sundays, especially, a lot of times I'm just reminding myself, this is the least important part. This is the least important part. Now, I'm not just going to come in here unshowered, mind you, or with, you know, my hair disheveled. But I know and I understand that the most important part of this whole experience we call Christianity is what happens in here. It's about being in tune in here. It's about having an intuition, a knowing, a perception in a spirit that's alive to God, receptive to God, hears from God. Listen, the most important thing you can learn in life, one of the most important things, I'll put that clause in there, is to be able to hear from God.
Amen.
You know, when we're growing up as kids, we watch cartoons and movies and things that are like fairy tale type stories. And in those stories, we see things like a genie who provides you with a lamp. And once or these people are going after a lamp, right? Aladdin's lamp or whatever story, you know, like that. Where once you get the lamp, you got everything by the tail. Why? Because you can make a wish, you rub the lamp, you can make 7 wishes or whatever. Once you have the lamp, you have it all. Everything else is immaterial because the lamp gives you everything you need. Listen, being able to hear God in your spirit is so important because if you can hear God, you got it all. If you can tune your spirit into his spirit and what he's saying and where he's leading you, you got it all. I don't have to know about electricity. Listen, if my light bulb goes out in my lamp or whatever, if my dishwasher acts up at home and I, you know, it's up to me to get it going, whatever it is, I don't have to be an electrician expert. I just have to be able to hear from the Holy Ghost. It is something that's possible for me to fix. And I'm going after it. But I'll say, Holy Ghost, I have no clue. Help me. If I can hear from God, I got the source of all electrical knowledge there ever was, or any other kind of knowledge. So the important focus in our life, saints, is not what we do up here. Yes, some of you, you know, you feel inclined to go to college, you feel inclined to read books, educate yourself. Great. Knowledge is great. I love knowledge too. I read all the time. My wife will tell you. I'm a bookaholic. But knowledge itself is not where it's at. It's hearing from the Spirit. It's tuning your spirit into his spirit, because once you've tuned in there, you've got the source of all knowledge.
Well, that wasn't in my notes, but someone needed to hear it. Okay, I wrote this down. It does little good to have your spirit saved and your mind unrenewed. It does very little good. Very little good. Listen, you could be a Christian and walk through this life and actually have all the experiences of a heathen if you don't renew your mind. You can be void of peace. You can be void of a sense of love. You know, the elderly brother in the story of the prodigal son, he had an issue, didn't he? He had a perception problem. He did not know the love of God. And so he went to his father. He was mad. He stood outside the party and said, this son of yours comes home. He's wasted all the money you gave him on harlots and wild living. And you throw him a party. I've slaved for you all these years. And you never even gave me a skinny goat to throw a party with my friends. And the father looks at him and says, son, yes, you've been with me all this time. And all that I have is yours.
That's right.
The father reminds me. He doesn't chide him. He doesn't chew him out. But he says, son, everything is yours. It's all yours. You had the wrong perception. It was yours all the time. You could have thrown a party. You could have had your friends over. You have the farm. You have everything. Our perception is so key, and your perception of the Father's love comes through renewing your mind in the Word of God. You'll only understand how much your Father loves you by renewing your mind. Listen, Colossians chapter 1. Let's flip over there to the left. Colossians 1. I want to make this distinction this morning, because there's two forces, there's two powers in this world that are vying for your mind and my mind. Two forces. The devil and God. The devil wants your mind, even if you're a Christian. He's not happy he lost you. He's not happy your spirit's been born again. And the one thing he will do to try to wreck your life is go after your mind. Now, he's got the people in the world. They're plugged into the matrix, so to say. they're mindless. The Bible says that they're just following their own bodily desires. That's the way the Bible describes them. They're envying. They're full of envy and hatred, hating and being envious of those who have more than them. That's the way of the world. Satan's got them. It says the god of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers. But for you and I, listen, we're to live above his schemes. Colossians 1:13, look at it with me. God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Listen, we have been rescued. We have been rescued from the dominion, the control. I'm not under Satan's control. You're not under Satan's control. If you're born again, if you're a child of God, you are not dominated by Satan any longer. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can you say hallelujah?
Amen.
Hallelujah? It's a good thing. People in the world, their lives are being destroyed moment by moment, day by day, like ocean ebbing away, just eroding away rock and eroding away a beach, a sandy beach. Their lives are being ebbed away by the god of this world because their minds are darkened. It's not our inheritance as Christians that we should be deteriorated in the same way. But it can happen if we don't renew our minds. If we don't renew our minds. And there's a big if clause there. If. It's up to us as saints. We must get in this book. We must renew our minds. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 says this. Read this with me. Colossians 2, 13 through 15. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. That's being born again. Amen? That's when you got raised up. Your spirit was made alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Verse 14. Having canceled the written code, that's the Old Testament law with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. Now look at verse 15. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Jesus, when he was raised from the dead and when he died on the cross, those two acts exposed the devil, disarmed the devil, and basically put him in a state of non-effectivity for those who are born again. Amen? The devil does not have dominion over us. He is in no power. Listen, there's a difference between deception and power. You need to understand this. The devil has power where he has deception. But where there's truth, he has no power. Jesus stripped him of his spiritual power. Listen, when we talk about spiritual warfare, it's not like us against some big dark angel who has bigger muscles than us or more intellect than us or greater powers than you and I. No, he's been stripped of his powers effectively, according to Colossians 2:15. He has been disarmed. Well, you say, Scott, look around you at the world. Look at all the evil that's going on in the world. Look at people's lives being destroyed. Yes, because they're in darkness. The god of this world has blinded their minds, and therefore, because of deception, he has power over them. For you and I, as saints in the kingdom, he has no power except what we give him. That's why Paul exhorted us, give no place to the devil. Give no place to him. And when we talk about the renewing of the mind, what we're really saying is surrender every area of your life and your mind to Jesus so that the devil will have no ground in you. It's God's will. We've just read a bit ago in Thessalonians that you be sanctified. What does that mean? Set apart for holy use.
set apart for God's use. Spirit, soul, and body. Amen? There are a lot of people, listen, some people have raised the question, you know, if a Christian commits suicide, what happens? Do they go to heaven? Do they go to hell? I believe, this is just my personal belief, I believe they go to heaven. I believe that their mind was so tormented, whatever was driving them, whatever was racking them day and night, it drove them in their soulish realm to commit something physically that was counter God, but their spirit is still born again. But their soul became a wreck. Why? Because they didn't line their mind up with what had happened in their spirit. Your mind needs to be synchronized with what's happened in here. Listen, if you'll learn to live from your born-again spirit by faith, you'll overcome everything. There's nothing. That's why John said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You are born again. You have a new creature. I shared this last week. When Jesus was in the wilderness, when he said no to all three temptations that tempted him in the fleshly sense, he was demonstrating the personality, the willpower, the determination of the new nature that you and I now possess. Listen, I don't care what you were weak in before you got born again. If it was drugs, alcohol, sex, whatever it was that dominated you before you came into the kingdom, it no longer dominates you. Because your spirit looks just like Jesus. Your spirit says automatically no to every temptation. Did you know that?
Amen.
You say, well, I don't feel that way. I still feel like such and such tempts me or such and such really harasses me in life. That's because your mind is playing catch up with your spirit, your new man. Let me say it again. The devil has no power over us except what we give him through deception. And that's why, listen, when you come into church, I'm so blessed. I'm so happy to see people at church. Because the church experience is this. You're in a room full of people who, just like you, are pressing into Jesus. Just like you are pressing in to make our lives holier and holier and to align ourselves more and more with what it means to be like God's children. And let me tell you, in a church experience, sometimes we'll rub shoulders with people. And the Bible says it this way. It says, provoke you one another to good works. Sometimes when I'm feeling less than holy, my wife will just, she just rises to the occasion.
Amen.
And it provokes me. It annoys me. I'm supposed to be the leader in this house and in this arrangement. And I'm like, okay, you're right. We got to be holy. We got to be patient. You know, something came up the other day and she's like, Scott, that doesn't sound like the heart of Jesus. You're right. What is that? We fellowship with one another. It reminds us of the light we're supposed to be walking in. But I'll also say this. Sometimes there's areas in our life, you come into a church experience, and I've been through this personally, and there's areas in our life that we've pushed into the corner, we've not dealt with them, we've locked them in the closet back here, and we've just said, I don't want to deal with that. And what happens is you get into a church experience with fellowship and other people, and maybe someone next to you in the pew is walking in a greater light in that area than you've been willing to submit to. It will annoy your flesh. It will. And one of two things will happen. You'll bolt from church, or you'll allow the Holy Spirit to work on that area of your life. You'll submit it to him. I said, Lord, you got to simplify this for me. Terry and I were talking the other day. I said, man, I got to make this easy enough for children to understand. And I wrote this phrase down. It's this. Let me get here. It's probably at the last page of my notes. Mm-hmm. Here it is. Sanctification is simply saying yes to what Jesus has already done. It's a saying yes from our will to what Jesus accomplished through his at the cross. That's sanctification. It's not any harder than that. A five-year-old can understand that. You say, Pastor, what does sanctification mean? Well, Johnny, sanctification is you saying yes from your heart to what Jesus said yes to at the cross. In other words, Jesus went to the cross, and the Bible teaches us at the cross, he crucified our old sin nature. How many of you know if you try to crucify yourself, you can get one nail in here? What are you going to do with this hand? You can't do it. Even the symbolism of the death on the cross is impossible for us to accomplish in ourselves. We had to have a Savior go there, take our old sin nature there 2,000 years ago, and put it to death once and for all. The Bible says you've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer you that lives. The old you was put to death there 2,000 years ago.
Sanctification now in the real world, in this experience, this life experience we have now, is simply saying yes from our heart to what Jesus did from his will by being willing to go to the cross and be crucified 2,000 years ago. We say yes. Jesus says, I put that sin to death, Scott. It's no longer a part of you. I say, okay, yes, I agree. We agree from our heart with what he did at the cross. That's sanctification. It's a simple surrender. It requires surrender. And it is a process. Listen, when you got saved, it was instantaneous. When you get sanctified, it can be a process. I mean, you know. And the process only need be as long as your will. You know, if you're going to say no, 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 yes today, but no tomorrow, maybe Jesus, I'll surrender today, half a day, but then I'm going back to no tonight. You know, as long as you're holding on to that area of your life, it remains unsurrendered. It remains unsanctified in him, whatever the area be. But when you say yes to Jesus, when you surrender, he comes in and makes you holy in that area. And it happens just as you spend time in the Word. And you just agree. You align your mind. You put your mind in agreement with what's happened in your spirit because of his work at the cross. It's as simple as that. That's sanctification. The name devil in Greek is a combination of two words, diabolos. Dia, meaning to pass through, and bolos, which means to throw, like throwing a rock or throwing a ball. This gives us a picture, a clear picture of what the devil does in trying to affect our mind. Listen, as I said a moment ago, once you get born again, Satan's game's over. He's out of the game. He has no power over you, no dominion over you, according to Colossians, those verses we read in Colossians. No dominion over you any longer. None. But what he'll do is come and throw a rock, throw a ball at your mind over and over again. Remember what it felt like to get drunk 20 years ago? Remember what it felt like to do this? He tries to draw us back into our old sin nature that Jesus dealt with at the cross. And he throws the rock. Throws the ball, bounces it off our mind over and over again until eventually, he's more determined than we are sometimes. And his whole intent, his job description is to pass that thought through your mind to the degree that you start believing it. And the minute you embrace it as truth, it becomes a bona fide reality to you. Deception all of a sudden becomes reality. Why? Because he was determined to break down your will, draw you back into what you once were before Christ. Let me tell you, saints, it was so powerful what happened to you and I when we got born again. So powerful. But your mind needs to catch up to that reality. It needs to catch up to what's been done and who you are. You are Superman. You are Wonder Woman. You just don't know it. You say, well, I know it. I got the t-shirt. It says, I know I'm Superman. No. Renewing of the mind is ongoing. It's not, I renewed my mind. It's never a matter of ED. I renewed it. I'm done. Got it. Done there, been there, done that. No, it's renewing of the mind. It means it happens every day, every moment. And I've said this before, really, in a real practical sense. All of us in here may not have all the time in the world to read our Bibles for hours and hours a day. Some of us have that privilege. Some of you are retired. You have time to just sit and you can ponder the Word for hours. Some of us are very fortunate to catch 5 or 10 minutes of extra time in the morning before we bolt off to Houston or whatever. Whatever time you have, take the Word. You can chew on it all day. You can take it in. You can digest it. Put it in your mouth in 5 minutes' time, so to say, and chew on it all day. Chew on the Word all day. You know, I love that there's a verse in Ephesians, and I quote this to myself often. I'm created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. I'll say that all the time over myself. I'm created to be like my Father and true righteousness and holiness. What am I doing? I'm renewing my mind. I'm telling my mind, this is where we're going. True righteousness, true holiness. That's who we are. In case you forgot, brain. Why? Because the mind is prone to forget. It is not subject to the will of God. Look at Romans chapter 8. I want to read a verse there real quick as we wrap things up. Romans chapter 8. Verse 7. I have good news for everybody in here. No matter what area of life you've been feeling weak in, or like it's not conquered, it's not fixed yet, wherever you're feeling broken or unfixed in your life, I got to tell you something. In Christ Jesus, you're already fixed there in that area. It's just your mind has to be caught up. Your mind needs to be renewed to the reality of what he's done for you. It's a completed work. Completed work. Romans 8:7 says this, though. Now let's back up to verse 6. Romans 8:6. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. I'm going to read it in the King James here. The carnal mind, verse 7, is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Listen, your mind will not go willingly. You can't be passive in this game. Joyce Meyer said it this way. It's not about, you can't have a wishbone. When it comes to the renewing of the mind, it's not about having a wishbone. I wish I had a better thought life. You got to have a backbone. Not a wishbone. It requires a backbone. You've got to be deliberate. I heard Dave Ramsey talking to some folks the other day on the radio, talking about financial advice. And he said, listen, you don't hit a such and such income level in your life by accident. If you're going to get there, you're going to get there by being deliberate. Mm-hmm. And I'll say that about the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind is not going to happen by accident. God's looking to you and I. It's our responsibility. It's like brushing your teeth. We're grown-ups in this room. We don't look to mom and daddy to brush our teeth for us anymore, do we? Remember when Rachel was a little girl, she really, really had a hard time sometimes getting up for school. So Terry would flop her up on the bed. And she'd say, come on, Rachel, we got to get dressed for school. She'd be putting her socks on her feet. Rachel would just be laying there like a slug, feet dangling off the mattress. And Terry's stretching these socks over her feet, putting her shoes on. Listen, but you can't do that anymore. And in the kingdom, I'm telling you, saints, wake up. It's not a passive ride. We are called, we are responsible to renew our minds. No one else can do it for you. And the possibility of the life of Jesus being manifested in you and I is contingent on this one matter. Have we renewed our mind? It's like that phrase that Exxon uses, turn the tiger loose. You've got a tiger inside you. He's born again. He looks like Jesus. He wants to raise the dead. And you're only going to turn that tiger loose to the degree that you unlock it. You unlock it by telling your mind, this is where we're going. And then your body will follow. Amen. Your body will follow where your spirit and your mind are now going in Christ. But it says here in Romans 8:7, read it again. Look, I'm telling you. The carnal mind is enmity against God. Listen, it's not going to go willingly. You've got to take it at spear point. In the Romans, in the mind's eye, when Paul said casting down imagination, taking every thought captive, he had an imagery in his mind of what a Roman soldier would do when he took a man off the street. A man was drunk and acting up in society, and a Roman soldier came along and said, hey, behave. And if the guy, talked back to him, just like today's situation, if you talk back to a police officer, what is he going to do? He's going to tase you or, hit you, whatever. I mean, the Roman soldier would take him by the nap of the collar, shove a spear into his back and say, we're going this way. This is the way we're going. And that's what Paul meant when he said, take every thought captive. You got to be deliberate. Those thoughts won't go willingly. You're going to have to take hold of them yourself. You're going to say, this is where we're going. Let me end this morning. I got a lot more to say, but I'm going to end on this. Renewing the mind is like the wheel. You're at the wheel of a ship. Your life is a big ship, like the Titanic or the Queen Mary. Well, we don't use the Titanic. He's a more pleasant boat than that. Queen Mary. You're at the helm of this big ship. And someone says, hey, we got to turn 30 degrees north. You're going to have to take the wheel of that ship. And sometimes you turn that wheel and it seems like it's a slow process. It's like it's taking forever. It looks like you're still going straight. You may go a mile or two and you feel like you're just still going straight. But it may take a while for that ship to actually start to list that direction that you're trying to get it to turn. Why? Because it's such a big, massive thing. Listen, renewing the mind can be like that. I want to encourage you, keep your hand on the wheel. Just stay steady, keep your hand on the wheel, and don't let go. Don't give up. It may not look like at first things are changing.
Some of us in here, you say, I came into the kingdom, I started hearing teaching on prosperity, and I started believing God for my finances to pick up. How many of you know you've been through experiences, you confessed the word, you spoke the word over your finances, you started to see some change, but then maybe the enemy fought back, right? Because he doesn't like giving up ground. The enemy does not want to give up ground. When you and I got born again, he was subjugated. He was pushed out in a sense of territory that he thought it was his. And that's you and I's life. And your mind is included in that. Satan doesn't want your mind given over to Jesus. He can't have your spirit. That's why I said if someone commits suicide, Satan can't touch their spirit. If they're born again, they're going to heaven. You follow me? But he, in a sense, he won the skirmish by defeating their mind. And so he thought. But listen, if you'll take hold of that wheel and turn that wheel and stay fixed on it and hold it fast and say, I will not give up. I may not see change happening yet. I'm still speaking the word. I'm declaring this is where we're going. Amen? This is where we're going. James said you can turn a large ship with a small rudder. Galatians chapter 6, we're going to end on this verse. Well, two verses. Galatians 6 and 1 Thessalonians 5. So put your finger in Galatians 6. We'll start there and then we'll go back to 1 Thessalonians 5 where we started in just a moment. But look at Galatians chapter 6. I want to end with a promise here. Give you some hope. Galatians chapter 6. Look at verse 7. Galatians 6, 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The good news is if you've been sowing bad seed in your thought life, if you've been going this way, if you've been going south, you can turn. You can start sowing seed toward the positive. You can sow seed going north. You have the power now, saints. You've been freed. We sang about it a moment ago. I'm no longer a slave. You are not a slave. You're not the devil's slave any longer. You're God's child. But it's time to sow positive seeds. I mean, look what he says. The man who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Holy Spirit will reap eternal life. Verse 9, here's your promise. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So you must be deliberate and you must stay at it. And don't give up. And you will reap a harvest in due season. Now look at 1 Thessalonians 5. I love this. We'll end on this promise too. Won't you stand together with me as we read this final verse. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. So much more to say. We'll continue next week. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. May God Himself, the God of what? Peace. What does that mean? That means, well, listen, peace means everything is in harmony with each other, right? Your spirit is already in harmony with God. He wants all the other parts to be in harmony with Him. Your spirit, your soul, and body. May the God of peace sanctify you, verse 23, through and through. Amen? Through and through. Listen, God's desire is to work through and through. He's not through with you till He's through with you. I don't care if you've been in the Lord 35 years. If you've got a little area here where you've locked the door and said, no, Jesus, can't come in that room. He says, hello, I'm Mr. Thorough. I'm going in there too. May the God of peace sanctify you through and through. Your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept what? Blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I love this last part. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. He will do it. Listen, if you'll surrender, if you'll let Jesus, He'll change you in every area. It's His desire. It's His intent. We just read it right there. That's His heart. He wants to change us, sanctify us spirit, soul, and body, and make us new. Amen? Father, we thank You today for the Word of God, the promise that if we faint not, in due season we will reap. And Father, we thank You that You are the God of peace. You're bringing peace into our lives. We thank You that the Word of God is sowing peace into us, spirit, soul, and body. That we're lining up. Every part of our being is lining up with You, the Holy God, the Holy Father. And we will be holy as You are holy. For faithful is He who called us, who also will do it. In Jesus. Amen.